Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Afternoon, it's Beltway Blitz time. Still got plenty more to come on the show. Liz Clark of The Washington Post will join us. Looking forward to catching up with Lorenzo Alexander in the 1 o'clock hour as well. So we will be blitzing here in just a moment. To kind of catch you up, if you're just sort of tuning in, busy day. No actual sporting events have occurred, obviously, but the Redskins' name is going to change. It's happening. It's going to happen. We went from never, you could print it, all caps, Dan Snyder in 2013, to the same group of folks that have been angry for a while with the occasional columnist weighing in, to now all of a sudden, goodness gracious, this is a real thing. Basically a committee of two. It's Ron Rivera, Dan Snyder getting together to figure it out. Other thing we're juggling today, and this happened right before we came on the air this morning, Mike Rizzo issued a statement that said, we haven't gotten our test results back from Major League Baseball from a few days ago. We can't safely hold practices. Other teams around baseball are starting to do the exact same thing. The A's have had dramatic problems getting results back. The Houston Astros closed their facility today. It is a complicated time here in the sporting world. But, GP, you know, it seems like this comes in waves. Something that completely got forgotten over the course of the weekend is Dan Snyder goes through his personal Rolodex and just calls people for advice, and his inner circle is really small, and they kind of miss Bruce Allen. That's like the 10th thing on the list. That would be the number one story most days, but it's now kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, it is, and I don't buy for 1 second that they miss Bruce Allen, because he wasn't helping them get a stadium, and I don't know what would be going any smoother or better right now if he was around. I like that Ron Rivera, with his dignity and class and the decorum he brings, is in any of the important meetings with Dan Snyder at this point, and I'll take that upgrade over Bruce. But let's talk some skins right now as we kick off the Beltway Blitz with our buddy Rick Snyder, whose work you can see at thefandc.com. Rick, for many, many, many years, you and I, so many times and so many different conversations on air, have talked about the Redskins' name. Are you surprised after seemingly no movement for so long at the speed with which this is all happening right now?
Yeah, I have to admit, I really didn't think Dan Snyder would buckle to it. I disagree with you about Bruce Allen's influence here. I think Bruce, for as bad as he was at football, really was great at buffering Dan from so many problems, like minority owners now want to sell, they're angry, fans are angry. You know, he was the buffer between all that. I didn't like Bruce, but he was good at doing that. And with him no longer there, I have a column coming up on the Fan site and any time now, saying basically, you know, that Bruce's exit is one of the reasons why we're seeing this. But I was really surprised. And my column that's going up now says this is the perfect time for Dan Snyder to sell the team for so many reasons. But I don't think he will, but I think today marks the end of the Snyder era coming. It's just when.
So, Rick, I guess a lot of people want to take credit for this, right? A lot of people, you know, want to pat themselves on the back saying, we did this or it was our efforts. To me, this is a very simple thing. I don't think Dan Snyder has had any kind of change of heart. I think this is just his bottom line has been affected in some way. I think just the cash they'll have to use was threatened, and that's got us here. Am I crazy or am I too cynical?
Well, you know, the great part that came out in the Post story this past day, Dan only owns 60% of the team now. I was shocked it was that low. Okay, that means he can't really squander any more equity on this. And so things that he could have shrugged off before as we'll make a little less, now are starting to pinch him. And I didn't know that he was at 60%. George Preston Marshall, when he died, only owned 56% of the team. When Jack Kent Cook died, the only thing he owned was the Redskins. Everything else was mortgaged. They spent so much money propping up so many other things. But they all do reach an end point, and Dan Snyder is reaching his end point. I don't know who would buy the 40% minority stake, but I think there's plenty of people that would buy the 60% majority stake.
But Rick, I want to go back to that. Because you said something a minute ago, and we moved on from it, but I think it's like stop everything, screeching brakes. It's the only thing we should talk about. Educate me on that, because I don't see him ever selling the team. He loves the team. It's his passion in life. He would feel like he lost and he's a loser, and I don't think he wants to give in. Why do you think he ultimately sells the team?
Well, you know, he also said, put never in all caps, that he'll change the name. So things do happen, and I think this is where we're starting to see it. Now, it may take 10 years. I don't know. But I think this is the point where he's lost control of his destiny of this franchise. You know, listen, he wants a stadium in a few years. How's he paying for it? He's going to have to pay for it now. The days of government giving you big money, that's gone. Not going to happen. So you can't afford to do that either. He's going to be in a financial pinch here. And, you know, it's not like he's the beloved old owner just wanting to finish out like Cook. You know, Dan's still a young man. He's got a lot of years left. But he's never going to turn around the town sentiment on him, you know. So I think I see an end run here. I don't know when it is, but I think I could see it.
That would be delightful, I think, for a lot of people. And if this is the thing that does it, then let's – I think Redskins fans would rejoice. Let's bring this thing on. I guess you don't think, though, that if RFK or DC's back in play, he might get some bidding municipalities against each other to get some kind of a cushy deal? Maybe not what it would have been a decade ago, but something where he's not just ponying up billions of dollars of his own?
Well, every group will give him something, infrastructure costs, things like that. That's a normal for any big job. I mean, look what Amazon got. You see, that's part of the problem. Virginia gave all their stadium money to Amazon. Baltimore gave all its money to the Pimlico situation. These people don't have these endless war chests. And with the pandemic killing our economy, it's going to take years to get that money back. They don't have it, and they're not going to give it. And he's not endeared himself to anybody to say, well, we really need them. Still say the RFK site's off the board. I don't care what people say. There's so many problems there. This isn't, instead of the Blitz, we'd have to be doing a full hour on that subject. But I don't, you know, everybody will give them something, but they're not going to give them anything that's tangible. And the fans aren't out there coming to games anymore. It's a real financial situation that they've come to a real crossroads with this team.
Rick, name, logo, ideas, should they keep the burgundy and gold color scheme? Should they just rip off the Band-Aid and go with something entirely different?
Well, you know, I just looked at somebody's long list of names and thought, stupid, 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 stupid. You know, but I think if you're going to change, make the change. Change everything. You know, go all the way. Now, it's hard to pick a nickname, but, you know, I think you go to the red, white, and blue like every other team in this town. The Nationals and Capitals in particular did a great job of coming up with an idea, names and stuff. I think you join that. You know, if you're going to retire the Redskins, you retire the burgundy and gold. If you halfway this, it's not going to please anyone. If you go to Warriors, you're still going to make people angry. Then what did you do this for? And you're going to anger the remaining fans that you had. So I think you got to make a clean break of everything. I don't expect them to do that, and I do expect them to keep the burgundy and gold, and it's just going to be a big mess.
Rick, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
All right, guys. See you.
We'll see you, dude. A little baseball, please, Tommy. Jesse Dougherty covers the Nationals for the Washington Post. Jesse, this is me giving you credit. You have said this from Jump Street, from 21 Jump Street, even the reboot that didn't even star the original cast. You have said this from the beginning. This has always been about the pandemic. This has always been about how difficult this is going to be, and we were underestimating that. Lo and behold, the Nationals canceled practice.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that, Danny. It's just, you know, it's a mess right now, and we're seeing it league-wide. There's, you know, the Nationals have not received their Friday test results. It's been 72 hours and counting. There were reports of testers not showing up for the Angels or Astros this weekend. The Oakland Athletics still haven't finished their intake screening because the holiday and Sunday delivery protocols, they weren't able to get their test results from Salt Lake City. So, I mean, just a mess. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. And we're already seeing that there's you can only prepare so much without actually seeing your plans in practice. And the plans laid out on the forefront of this were clearly not sufficient enough, because now that they're putting into practice, they're just not working.
Tell people about Mike Rizzo's statement. And while we're talking about statements made by Nationals, if you could, let people know what Sean Doolittle said yesterday as well.
Sure. Yeah. So this morning, Mike Rizzo came out with a strong statement telling the league that, you know, that they have to clean this up. They have to make sure this testing model works, because it's about safety for players, coaches, and staff. And he basically said, we're not going to go to work until we have our results from Friday. And he's not going to put players and staff at risk at work. And that's, I think that's a huge thing that we saw it a bit from the Athletics GM last night as well. And I think the more people, you know, speak that opinion and come forward with that, we're going to have, you know, more traction of either change or maybe some more direction, a different direction here with the league. And then Sean Doolittle similarly, you know, just in a half hour interview yesterday with local reporters, just packed a lot in. A part of that was his skepticism about testing. Part of that was his skepticism overall about the plan and the way it came about, sort of taking a shot at the fact that negotiations were very focused on labor and money, and they weren't so focused on health and safety protocols. Now we're seeing that there's not the right PPE at facilities, and we're seeing that the testing model is not working. And there's a lot of things that fell through the cracks because a lot of the focus in the last 3 months for the major parties figuring out baseball's return plan was focused on salary structure and how players would get paid. And then and on top of that, you know, he gave really pointed comments about how sports are the reward for a functioning society. That was the quote, and pointing out that if the U.S. wants sports, it's going to have to do a lot more than it has done in the last few months to flatten the curve, to deal with the pandemic, to come together and do simple things like wearing a mask in public and washing your hands frequently and taking care of each other by quarantining. And because the U.S. is so clearly not taking all those steps, Sean believes that something like baseball cannot safely happen. And I think his thoughts are being shared around the league by players slowly.
Yeah, Jesse, let's dish on that a little bit for a second. I mean, it may not be fair. It may not be apples to apples, and it may be a little bit of a straw man thing. But I can't help but look and see, hey, for months you guys argued about money and games and pro rata and other kind of stuff. Here's what should have been happening. Rigorous, established, best practice, testing, everything should have been completely set up. And if you guys got to this point with everything incredibly well planned out with best faith efforts, we'd understand that. But it's hard for me to reconcile that this is a whoopsie-daisy at this point when you guys couldn't even figure out the other basic stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, Danny, on the health and safety side, it feels to me like a bit of like a Rip Van Winkle situation. Like baseball just woke up from like a three-month nap and was like, oh, wow, we have 2 days to prepare. And that's from everyone. Like, oh, we have to prepare a full season during a pandemic now because that time was spent, that three-month nap was basically them fighting about, like you said, pro rata pay, salary structure. Issues that I think are important of setting precedent for, you know, in the player-owner battle. But also, in this case, the most important element of this season was always going to be the health and safety protocol. And the fact that that wasn't dealt with on the front end as carefully as it should have been and with as much time in disproportionately to the time that was spent talking about the salary structure and pay, you made your bed, now you're laying in it. Like, that's just how it is. And I think we're seeing that now that because you took that approach in the run-up to the season you wanted to bring back, you're not going to be able to have that season if that's the level of care you put into the health and safety protocol. That's just not how that works.
Jesse, thank you, buddy. We appreciate the time.
Of course, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
We'll have to get back into that in just a bit on Grant and Danny. But next, the odds just came out from Bet Online on what the Redskins' next team name will be if and when they change the name from Redskins. So we can give you some of those. Also, how much credit should Ron Rivera get if and when the name changes? A minority head coach here in Washington has Dan Snyder's ear, just showed up, and with everything going on around the country and him being very vocal and outspoken and backing all of the movements socially that are taking place, suddenly the team has made a major shift. Coincidence? Part of that, Rivera? Get into that as well on G&D here on The Fan. Fred Katz, who covers the Wizards for The Athletic, just tweeted that Bradley Beal is planning on going to Orlando with the team when the Wizards take off for Florida tomorrow. Scott Brooks has told reporters that this does not mean that Bradley Beal is for sure going to play with the Wizards, but he says he is expected to travel with the team. Danny, part of the fear, I would think, of leaving and getting COVID-19 or possibly infecting someone in your family would be the travel and going to and from Orlando. If you're getting on the plane and you're going there, you might as well play, right? I guess you want to go and see how it's set up and whether or not you feel safe. I mean, the Nationals, I'm sure, have a different opinion right now on the return to baseball than they had when they showed up on July 1st in Washington, D.C. So maybe Bill wants to just go see how seamless and how well the NBA planned everything out. And if he doesn't like it, he'll check out and leave. Maybe quarantine when he gets back home before he sees his family. But if you're going through the process of going to Orlando, I would think you just play when you get there.
One, I get what you're saying, but if you show up And you've taken the risk of getting yourself down there, which we all acknowledge. You know, if you stay at home, it's like 0.0. If you go somewhere, it starts to go up, right? But when you get down there and you go, you know what? This ain't going to work. I'm going to pull the ripcord. Like if you're Sean, like a Sean Doolittle type situation, right? Where you're like, I've got my doubts. I got my reservations. Let me show up and see. And you find this complete circus environment that just isn't well thought out. I think the NBA is in a better place than baseball is right now. But for the just saying, if you get down there and you go, oh my God, this is not going to work at all. Like, look, people are not taking this seriously. Everybody's coming and going. I'm going to get this thing if I'm down here. I could see that. But I'm with you in general. Like, if you take the time to go down there, it means you've already got a foot in the door as opposed to out.
Yeah, and I could see him going down there and I guess being enlightened that it's not as good as he thought or there's something mm-hmm. to be concerned about. I just feel like the part of the – when you're going to a bubble, unlike the Nationals, who are going to be going to and from the ballpark and living among society and they're not in a bubble. When you get to Orlando, and as soon as you get to the facility, theoretically, you're safer there than you would be traveling back to D.C. So I get your comp to Doolittle or the Nats. I'm just not sure if I completely buy it because I feel like you're most at risk probably from point A to point B than when you get there and stay there for the X amount of weeks that you're going to be there because everyone's mm-hmm. being tested and everyone that's coming in to interact with you at any point, you're going to know does not have COVID-19. But we'll see what Bradley Beal ultimately decides. It sounds promising for the Wizards, and they might well catch the Nets. I mean, so many players from Brooklyn aren't going to be able to participate that perhaps the Wizards could actually force their way into the playoffs. And you know, that would mean what? That they get to get demolished in the opening round?
But congratulations. You got the Bucks.
They'd participate and extend their season.
That's right.
So BetOnline just came out with odds for what the Redskins, when and if they change their name, will change their name to. Some of these are ridiculous, and I won't even mention them because they're just kind of thrown on there at 500-1 to stir the pot, you know, politically. But of the names that are actually being tossed around or that you hear, they kind of assigned odds and likeliness to each of these names. So they say if the Redskins do change their name, that the most likely name right now in terms of odds is a 3-1 Red Tails. And you hear this a lot. Huh. The Red Tails was a movie, actually, in 2012 that I enjoyed. Starred, among other actors, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it, yeah.
It was really, actually, it was a solid movie. If you guys haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. But it is about the Tuskegee Airmen, a group of black United States Army Air Force servicemen during World War II. The characters in the film were fictional, but they were based on real individuals. But the idea was that this was the name of this group of pilots, these African-American pilots, and you'd be, I think, paying great respect and reverence to them. Now, obviously, Redskins, Red Tails, close. You don't have to change a lot about, you know, Hail to the Redskins or a lot of the diction and things about the team, the word choice using when you break them down and how things sound. Red Tails gets a lot of traction from a lot of fans. What's your thought on that name?
It's the historical significance of Red Tails, I think, is above reproach. That story is awesome. It really is. It's great. I just wonder, what about that is Washington, D.C. related? And you may not need anything to be D.C. related, right? I mean, are there any Rams in the greater Los Angeles area? No. I don't know. It's just, are there actual Giants in New York? I don't. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I don't know if you have to have the link to it or not. I know that if you want to try to capture the social moment that we're in, Red Tails makes a lot of sense. So I can see why that's the leader in the clubhouse. I mean, you already had Dwayne Haskins tweet out that very fact that he likes Red Tails. I don't know. I mean, it's you don't have to change that much, right? You could just the logo would have to be reimagined, obviously, but keep your burgundy, keep your gold, keep red, and change the name from what a lot of people perceive as a negative to an overwhelming positive. Because this story is awesome. I encourage you to look it up if you don't know about it. But that I get why that's litter in the clubhouse, man, because it's the moment that we're in.
Yeah, Haskins is, to my knowledge, the only player that came out. And I don't even think the tweet's still out there at this point because he kind of clarified after the fact. He's like, if we change our name, I'm not saying should. Right. But, yeah, Red Tails to me would be exciting. You know, it would be fine. That is as good as anything I've heard. If I found out tomorrow they were going to be the Washington Red Tails, cool. I'd have no problem with that. 3-1 odds, the favorite according to BetOnline. Washington Generals is what they list next, 4-1. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't dig this up, but I'm pretty sure I have this right. Isn't that the name of the team that just lost to the Globetrotters all the time, like 16,000 times? So to me, you're just setting yourself up to be the butt of jokes. Like, you already have an embarrassing situation where everyone makes fun of you all the time. Every time you lose, the Washington Generals lost again. Every 2-14 or 3-13 season, you know, we're going to hear that you named the team after. You look up to some team that was designed to lose to the Globetrotters. Maybe I'm overthinking that, but before that reason, I am out, as they say on Shark Tank.
It's the first association. It should never be the name. If the Generals didn't exist, the team that professionally loses to the Globetrotters, if they didn't exist, you'd go, oh, that's pretty sweet. They do.
Yeah, then it'd be
so
pretty cool.
You shouldn't. Yeah, it'd be neat. That's a good name. But no, thank you. That's the hardest of passes. That's that gift of, I want to say it's Adam Devine, shaking his head vigorously no that Dar uses sometimes. Please present that to the public. No. Not that one.
Yeah, I'm good on that. Next one's interesting to me. I'm going to say no to it as well, but I don't dislike it nearly as much as I do Generals. The Washington Presidents. You could have a potentially cool emblem, you know, logo on the helmet. I'm not sure exactly what it would be, but because, you know, you wouldn't want any one person's face, but maybe it would be, you know, it would be something presidential or something cool. The Washington Presidents, very D.C., obviously, very American. I still say no, but I would say I like it a lot more than Generals and less than Red Tails if you're asking me to slot it in somewhere.
I really don't like it. I don't know why.
Do you dislike it as much as Generals?
I think I put it even below Generals.
I don't know. Wow.
I don't know why I don't like it that much. I can't explain that to you. I have no good reasoning. It's just, it's something that's like, who's the most powerful person in the world? It's the president. It's just like the results of the Electoral College. I mean, what? I don't know. I just, something about that really, it's cheesy also. Yeah, I have a visceral reaction to that one. I can't defend my position, but I like that one the least.
A lot of the ones that are listed next in terms of the odds are cheesy as well.
You've
got the Washington Lincolns, no. The Washington Veterans, no, that's bad. The Washington Capitals, there's a team named that already. Now, it's spelled differently. It's an O, not an A. But no, that's not a thing that I'm doing, having two teams named the Capitals. The Washington Americans, no, I don't like that. I don't know about you. Washington Memorials, no. Washington Monuments, I don't hate that. You could have like a monument on the helmet and they'd be the Washington Monuments. I will say that I don't love it. Like, I like Red Tails more. That's probably my second favorite name so far on this list would be the Washington Monuments with the monument as the logo.
Where's Warriors and all that, by the way? That's what I don't get. That to me, because that was the one that Snyder, I guess, got up
here.
Yeah, that's, I thought it was between Warriors and Red Tails, because Warriors is the trademark that Snyder filed years ago at what everybody kind of perceived was this was the backup plan, right?
But what's your take on Warriors? Because to me, if you're going away from Redskins, I feel like you just go away from the Native American theme. And I know the Golden State Warriors are the Warriors, but there's nothing really like Native American about any of the logo or anything that they have. They got the bridge or the GS or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, in terms of, like, Sherrando had a football team called the Warriors, Sherrando High School in Stephen City. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anyone can even pick us up there is listening right now. But, like, they used to have, a Native American headdress-type dude come out on a horse and throw a javelin into the middle of the field. It was one of the coolest high school intros with, like, smoke and stuff ever. I don't know if they still do any of that. But there is a very Native American connotation about that. And can you go from Redskins to that? It would just seem weird to me. I feel like
great question.
You're moving the ball down the field in the direction people want, like the Indians. That's just the name of. I mean, we say Native Americans now, but it's the Indians. They're changing their name potentially. They've launched a quest to look into this. And Terry Francona came out and said, "Yeah, it's probably time to move on from this." I guess Warriors is a much more positive like connotation, and it's not just Native Americans. Obviously,
because you think of military as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. You could be a warrior and you could be just a dude fighting for the U.S. military. So I guess that would play. I don't know. I just feel like because if you're changing from something else to the Warriors, I wouldn't think it was weird. Because you're going from Redskins to Warriors, I wonder if that's going to appease the masses, so to speak.
Mm. I've thought all along that's what it was going to be, because Snyder said he still or the somebody said, attributing it to Snyder, somebody, that they wanted to have some sort of still an homage to the Native American roots. because of the military ties, it just seemed the most natural name was Warriors, because it's safe, it's easy, you got alliteration, it sort of solves a lot of problems. People kind of throw their hands up and go, ah, it's not that bad. Because compared to like the monuments, or compared to like the federal land grants, or like the congressmen, you know, whatever these other dumb names are that are associated with DC, it feels okay. Like, it's very okay. It's not as good, but it feels fine. And people just kind of go, ah, this is a glass of lukewarm water. I'm thirsty. I'll drink it.
Any chance that the Redskins change their name before the start of training camp? I just don't see how that would happen, but we'll tackle that next. We'll get your thoughts on all of this at 800-636-1067. Do you think there's actually a way they could have a new name this year? And with camp starting just a few weeks away, and we are now less than 2.5 months from the start of the regular season, you're listening to The Fan.
I don't think they need Donkey of the Week anymore, right?
Because I'm in the running right now for Donkey of the Week. It's Monday.
Oh, no.
July 6th. I came down to the beach this weekend for what was supposed to have been a vacation that goes several days that may end very, very early, because your boy left my power cord for my Comrex unit. And I got it all plugged up, made sure everything worked well, found the perfect spot in the house for the best reception over the weekend, did a bunch of stuff I needed to do. Worked out well. Full battery this morning. And I go to plug the unit in, and I said, oh, wait, I don't have the power cord. So I got all this other wires I don't need. But I keep checking it. And I talked to our engineer this morning. He said, don't worry. He's plenty of power for a show. He says, this will get you through 4 hours easy. Uh-huh. The question is more tomorrow's show. You know, how many hours can you get into tomorrow's show? Well, I'm just telling you, I keep looking at this battery, and 2 o'clock is coming not as quick as I need it to.
It's not going to make it.
I'm going to walk out. You're probably going to hear a baby or something, because I'm going to walk out into the open here just to check this battery for you. Okay. But I'm just going to tell you, we've got a blinking yellow light ready to go to like a little bit of red.
Oh, no.
The battery.
Oh,
now,
the
battery started out full green, full go, full steam ahead, Daryl Green, okay? 100%. Now, there's no percentage. This isn't like a phone where it says like 20%. But it goes from a full bar of green to like what appeared to be probably 3/4 of it lit up green. And then it starts blinking green, flashing like what is half of the battery is on yellow. Okay? So now I'm down to like, I'm past where it was like half yellow, and I'm down to like flashing yellow, and it's showing in the time where it's not flashing yellow, like a little bit of a red line.
Oh, man.
Like low battery.
So you remember,
so we're at about an hour and 22 minutes left in show, and the big game we're going to play is, will I be here when Liz Clark talks to Danny in 20 minutes, or Lorenzo Alexander talks to Danny at 1:30? Will I do a John Thompson bit? I don't know if you ever listened to 980 back in the day, but John Thompson about once a week would just do his show on the cell phone, like for somehow that was okay. Like, and he had no bosses. I don't really know, because he coached at Georgetown that one
time.
You know, he was like, hey, everybody, I'm on vacation. I'm on a phone. We're all going to act like that's okay for the next 3 hours. He used to do his show on the phone all the time. So
they also used to record like a, hey, what's going on? And then like other people in the room would talk.
That was an insider bit I heard one time. So Al Koken hosted that show with him and Doc Walker.
For a while.
And I think there was a bunch of different iterations. Like B. Mitch did it at one point.
Smoking
and it was like
Al.
It was before 106.7 The Fan, so 980, I think, was the only station in town, and he's such a legend. I mean, he's still one of those guys where if I saw John Thompson, like, at a restaurant, I would
get nervous. Yeah, I would.
Try to talk to him and be nervous because he's the man. But it was just, like, radio people like us, like, I found out today I didn't have a wire. I've had intense anxiety, and I'm nervous, and I'm worried, and I feel like I'm letting everyone down. Like, he would just do a show on his cell phone, and that was just fine somehow, like, all the time. Nobody cared. But and it would sound awful. He'd be breaking up, interviewing guests. I mean, it was just a wacky, wacky bit, and no one cared. But I say all this to say that you're right. What they did was he would, I guess what I was told is he would get there late sometimes or something. So they would – and I don't – again, I'm not going to promise this story is true, but this is what I was told from one of the people that was intimately involved in the situation.
That's right. We were told the same thing, yeah.
That, that like, they would play the music. Yeah. And the opening song, I think, was like, ah. Everyday People, or whatever that song is. And so, like, that's playing, like, boom, boom, boom. And then it would just be a recording where he would be like, what's going on today, guys? And then they would play that, and then, like, Al or whoever would jump in and just talk until he got there, basically. And, like, eventually he would hop back onto the show.
And they didn't record it because it only happened once. They recorded it because they needed it. It's the thing I always say about when you're driving down a highway that's divided by, like, a median and, like, a whole bunch of stuff in the middle, and there's a big sign up that says wrong. There you go, Tommy. That says wrong way. They didn't put the wrong way sign up because there were no incidents. They didn't put the wrong way sign up because the study came back and said no one's in danger of going the wrong way on the highway. They put that up because they needed it. They did that recording because they had to have the recording. Because they were like, let's go to the recording because we need this all the time.
This song is so silly, though. And yeah, so you heard this and you're like, oh, it's time for John Thompson. But the point is, I don't know. There might be a cell phone connection late in the show. We're going to have to... We're going to map this sucker out as best we can.
Figure this out. By the way, I've got the under on you making it.
Right now, there's no chance I make it, barring a miracle. Here's what I don't know, and here's how I could potentially make it.
Okay.
If after the little red bar, it doesn't die and it goes to just being completely blank, and you have like a 20-minute reserve a la your tank's on empty and you can just run on fumes. Yeah, you know, occasionally, like in a car, it says empty, and now you can just drive for another half hour or whatever.
Yeah, it's like Kramer on the test drive. You're just going to keep going past the limit. And then you run out of gas. But I'm reminded of this, and you're not a fan of this movie, but there's a great scene in The Matrix when Neo and Trinity break into the federal building with all the different agents and everything to rescue Morpheus. And Morpheus jumps out of this broken window and is trying to jump across this giant precipice from building to building. And Neo's looking at it, does this calculation. He goes, he's not going to make it. I'm thinking of you right now. You're Morpheus jumping out of the building, and you just don't have enough. There's no way for you to make it. So we've got to pull some maneuvers to try to figure it out. You're turning it off every commercial break to try to save battery. You're getting text messages, okay, we're 90 seconds out, so boot the thing back up. Dude, this is – we need a rescue. We need a hero.
Okay, so I'm taking a picture right now that I'll tweet out of what the battery is currently showing, okay? Here's what I want to do. Closest to the pin, winner gets a buck on Venmo. Let's all predict right now, at what time do I just die? At what time on the show today? It's 12:43 right now. Mm-hmm. Or you could say that I'm going to make it the whole way.
No, come on. That's the $1 Price is Right bid.
I'm going to say during the break between the 1:26 segment, like that, the end of the segment right around 1:26, like going into the 1:32 start. So I'm going to say around 1:30 in the break between those two segments, I'm cooked.
I'd like to be able to see it before I guess, but just based on the trends and what we're hearing on the ground, sources indicate, I got 1:20. I think right at 1:20, this thing goes kaput. Middle of the segment, middle of a sentence, without warning, it'll feel like somebody kicked something. And we're going to do the bit where we go, what? Is Grant there? Is Grant there? Oh, okay. I guess it's just me. And I'll sort of awkwardly fumble through the rest of the segment. That's my belief. Pre-Lorenzo, post-Liz.
I just posted the picture, so it should be showing up on the Twitter feed at any moment here. I just did a screen grab.
All right.
So you can look at it if you'd like. It's just a red little bar.
Paulson.
It's not a big bar. It's just a tiny little red bar there.
Oh, that is
right
so small.
In the middle. It's
that's
very
so
small.
But you might not get
fairness,
to where I said.
No, but in fairness, that's the first red. Like, it wasn't a big red bar before that. That's just the setting for low battery, I'm sure. All right, Thommy, Danny's saying 1:20. I'm saying the break before the 1:30 segment. If you can see the image, what do you think I make it to?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have handicapped it pretty well. I would say probably 1:15, but I don't feel good about it. But I think Danny is right. I do think he will be talking to Lorenzo Alexander on his own.
For the 1:30 guest spot. All
It'd
right.
be good to catch up with Zoe.
Dar, everyone's zagging here. You could zig. You could zig Fricassi this thing, and you could end up saying like 1:49 and hitting it on the head potentially if you think I got a little reserve gas somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm
going to zig in the other direction, and I'm going to say – I originally, before you tweeted out that picture, I was going to say it was going to be an inconvenient time, like 1:36, right in the middle of the Lorenzo Alexander interview. I'm going to say 1:05, right at the start of the Liz interview. This thing is, it's not looking good. It's not
so
looking
good.
So
much confidence.
At all.
You got to play the John Thompson opening song when I go, by the way. Just play that for Danny. That's how people will know that I'm gone quietly underneath of this.
We're just going to fire cannons like in the Hunger Games.
By the way, this is a funny bit. Everyone's guessing on Twitter. Someone said, see you tomorrow, Grant. Well, maybe. They overnighted me a battery, and we don't know if it'll get here by 10 a.m. Mike says, nope. TJ says 115. All the guesses are coming in. So if anybody hits it on the head, I'll give you a dollar on Venmo. I'll have to figure out who's closest. But those are some of the guesses. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, the very rare occasion for Movie Club at 12:45, where we watched a movie that I wanted to see in theaters and wasn't able to, that has stars that people actually know about, that people like. John Barenthal's like the third biggest name in this thing with Bale and Damon. It was a movie that came out in 2019 that we had missed. Danny picked himself a winner. It wasn't about a robot or a warlock. It was something actually entertaining. So, Danny, job well done. Your thoughts?
Good flick. Again, a little bit long. And it was sort of like I got hit over the head. I get it. The number two guy at Ford, I think played by Josh Lucas, is a bad guy. I get it. I get that he's in the way. But overall, really good dynamic. Christian Bale's character, Ken Miles, is this obstinate, pig-headed, hard to work with, temperamental, you know, driver slash knowledgeable car mechanic guy, was great in that role. Matt Damon as Carroll Shelby, I thought he was sensational in that role. The rest of the cast, you know, kind of hit or miss for me. Bernthal was great as Lee Iacocca, by the way, because you know his historical significance.
He was awesome in everything.
Yeah, he's just so good. Shout out Sidwell Friends. The overall, this movie I thought was good, not great. I wanted to love it. I really, really wanted to love it because it had so many ingredients. I enjoyed it, though. I'm happy we watched it. I wanted to watch it. I was glad. I felt myself wanting a little bit more than I got. I don't know if that's fair. So it's like 7.5, 8 out of 10, but I thought it was going to be like an epic, awesome thing. Just good.
I'll give it an 8 out of 10. I would have given it an 8.5 if it wasn't 2.5 hours long. I thought, like, there's sometimes where a 2.5 hour movie is that long and you go, it's hard to trim out more than 10 or 12 minutes, but I wish they could have. This, I could find 25 minutes to trim out, I feel like, you know, in terms of either backstory or the exposition at the beginning. There were awesome moments in this movie, though, that just made it fun for me. Like when you have the messed up door in the race in 66 and Remington breaks, you know, uses the mallet to fix it. Like just little things that just race car movie stuff that I find at this point getting into racing a little bit really, really neat and interesting. But overall, I think I liked it a little bit more than you, Danny. Part of that might have been I was just so happy that we weren't watching a Star Wars movie. I couldn't believe that you picked this. I couldn't believe you picked a movie current with the times, dated to this moment. And I'm so proud of you, and I just wanted to thank you.
Well, I do is pick great movies like Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is a 10 out of 10. But yeah, it was good. I'm glad we watched it. I wanted to watch it. But I don't know, man. I sound like I'm being negative about it. I'm giving it like a 7.5. I enjoyed it. It was good. I thought it was going to be great for some reason. You know, I was really, really excited about it.
Here's my suggestion for Movie Club tonight. Your boy may be driving back from Cape Chuck. Might not get home until later.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I can watch a movie tonight. So if you guys want to pick a movie for the three of you to enjoy, you do that. I would love to have it not held against me if I'm coming back tonight from vacation and getting home late so that I can get a wire to either come back here tomorrow or stay home to not have to watch a movie. But I'm asking for your pity. You guys decide what you want to do. If you want to assign me a movie, that's perfectly fine, and then you can trap me into watching some terrible Star Wars movie or something like that. Whatever you got to do, I'm a team player. But I'm just going to tell you, I probably can't watch a movie tonight.
Interesting. See, if you didn't keep trying to, you know, hammer me for giving you excellent movies and, like, you're welcome for now having seen Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, I'd be more inclined to forgive you. But you can't resist chipping away. And your battery's almost dead. I don't know. What do you think, guys? Should we hold his feet to the fire? Because he's got adversity up ahead of him. We know that. He's probably driving to and fro D.C. area and Cape Chaz over the course of the evening.
I say we don't hold it against him. I mean, I honestly feel bad because he's
be the better man. Yeah, okay.
He's either got 6 hours of driving ahead of him, or praying that UPS gets there tomorrow. So who knows?
Well, here's the problem is I'm not going to know if UPS is going to get there. Now, I'm going to call our engineer when we're done to see if – because he was going to try to get a guarantee they could get it here by 10.
Uh-huh.
But the play, if there's no guarantee, would probably be I would go home tonight, and then I would do the show at my house,
mm-hmm.
and then I would come back tomorrow.
Ooh, like that's tough.
After my show.
Oh, is that tough? That stinks, to be honest with you. I mean, there's nothing fun about that. All right, I'll say no movie. I'll say no movie. Dar, if you're in line with that, I'll say that's fine.
Well, I mean, we can watch something for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, for no, not for granted is what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
All right, well, you guys should pick a movie and either, you know, announce it a little bit later on, probably well after I've died and I'm no longer here, or whenever you'd like. You guys can tell me what you'll be watching tonight. And maybe here's the other question, though. Like, I told my wife, I'm like, well, you should just stay here with the baby, and I'll go back and get the cord. And she's like, oh, no, we'll just all come back. But I think it's worse. Like, if she comes home
yes.
early from vacation.
Yes, it is. It's
because
worse.
Of my screw-up, she's like, no, we're doing this together. It's fine. It's fine. We had a couple nice days. I'm like, no, why don't you just stay? I'll come back. This is my issue. I forgot the wire. It's my gig. You don't, you know, you're working from home. Like, you're just watching the baby. You could do that here. You could do that there. Stay with your parents. But I think if she comes back, see, she seems like everything's fine, but I don't think everything's fine.
It's not fine. And that's basically a way to say, to hold that over you, as a way to say, you screwed this up, and I have to do this too. Because it would be delightful, because she's hanging out with her folks, she's got help with the baby, everything is her vacation, it's beautiful down there, she's got a nice time, and you've ruined that, and by opting into the ruining, it's a way to use it against you in a court of law. I wouldn't allow it. Don't allow it.
Just put my foot down. I'm doing this alone. I go
yeah.
alone.
It's my mess up. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yep, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Leave it on the side of the road.
You got to go alone.
Danny on the fan.
You got to go alone.
Say it again.
You got to go alone, and you have to run the perfect lap just one time.
Just one time. Ken Miles, Grant Miles over there.
I will run the perfect lap. But Dar said, by the way, 6 hours. Oh, would I love it if I could go there and back in 6 hours.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm quite confident. GPS might say so. Google might tell you if you look it up, Dar, I could do that in 6 hours. I got a couple of cars on the road that say otherwise. Liz Clark is one of the three writers from the Washington Post who did a story on minority owners wanting out of their Redskins stakes. They want to sell their 40% of the team and get away from Dan Snyder, essentially, is the report from Post. We'll talk to Liz about that next right here on YouTube.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.